WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset.
Today, a new campaign against cyberbullying is encouraging kids to get out there and do it in person.
A team of archaeologists have accidentally uncovered a living guy.
Approved by the FDA last month, Despondex is intended as a treatment for the approximately 20 million Americans who are insufferably cheery.
U.S. military commanders have announced that the third annual Bring Your Daughter to War Day was a great success.
Facebook headquarters is on lockdown after Mark Zuckerberg's avatar broke out of the metaverse.
If any of these headlines made you chuckle, well, get excited because The Onion is returning to print. You can now enjoy the satirical paper, self-dubbed America's finest news source, hot off the press. And don't worry, they're not peeling away their online content, but subscribers will also get a monthly issue sent to their door to flip through alongside their morning coffee. To learn more about the outlet's return to print, we sat down with The Onion's editor-in-chief, Chad Nackers, and we started by asking him about the public reaction to this epic return. Here's Chad.
It's amazing. You know, we just want to put our readers first, and the best way for them to experience The Onion is to kind of see all these headlines at once and stories, and they kind of interact, and you see this mix, and you kind of laugh in different ways, you know, whether it's an animal joke, a political thing. It's really the best way to experience it, and you turn the page, and then there's another great thing.
Yeah.
And I think we just all kind of want to get off our devices a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. So the print version it's just been back this week. I mean, how are people reacting so far?
It's been great. And right now for the next 5 days, it's available for $60 for a year. You'll get 12 issues and some other little perks that we'll surprise you with throughout the year.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about the decision, right? Why did you decide to go old school, if you will?
You know, I think part of it is, you know, when you rely on social media, which is like an algorithm that decides what people see, our readers aren't getting what we want them to get. It's the media companies are deciding. And so we want to just have something where it's like, here's the headlines you should see. We've created a new website that is more of news-like, got rid of a lot of the ads. So it's okay. Just a clean experience. It loads up really quickly. And, you know, we just want people to really like enjoy the content and not feel frustrated by things that don't load or weird pop-up ads and everything else that's bad with the internet.
Yeah, we love print media over here, but The Onion was also the first digital humor site, right? It launched in 1996. This is way before memes and vines and TikToks became a thing, as you pointed out, social media there. Now, you have been at The Onion, I understand, since 1997? Is that right, John?
I have. I've worked in Madison, New York City, and Chicago.
Wow, amazing. I mean, so what was it like for you then to like, you kind of are part of creating and shaping internet humor?
Yeah, I mean, and in those early years, like the economy was great. Bill Clinton was just kind of this, like our fun little clown that we put in all these different situations.
Right.
Then we moved to New York City, 9/11 happens, and the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. And so like satire kind of took a little twist and it went a little more Swiftian, I think, where you're kind of attacking these real serious social problems.
Yeah, and how does the shifting of the internet begin shifting your content that you're churning out during that time too?
It's true, and especially with the rise of social media, you have more information about things like police brutality is becoming more common, at least reported.
Right.
And so, you know, those become topics that we start to hit. And gun violence became another thing that, you know, was a topic that we felt like we had to cover. And so it kind of changes, you know, you're not just sitting around thinking like, well, what could I put Bill Clinton into today? You know, should he be injected with a super serum? Or is he like collecting vinyl records? You know, so we would just kind of play around with them, and suddenly it's like the biggest issues in the entire world we're kind of dealing with.
Yeah, I'm just trying to picture your morning meetings as a team. I mean, are they just hilarious at times?
Yeah, I mean, They're hilarious if something really bad hasn't happened, you know,
right.
Like if it's just the fun stuff, the evergreen headlines, we're having a great time and people are cracking jokes and we're wasting a lot of time as well.
I can imagine. But, you know, as we talk about the internet, back to a point you made earlier, I mean, sometimes the digital space can feel limiting, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I find myself in my personal life, like I try to read paper books so my kids see that, you know, look, I'm reading a book. I'm not just staring at a phone. And I think that's part of what we want to do with The Onion, because there's this great experience, like when you're out and about on a train or something, you see somebody reading a paper and they're just laughing and cracking up. That's mm-hmm. like, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And just, to, you know, it also like, it does encourage reading, you know, which is like kind of a fun way to get satire.
Are your kids buying it? Are they, are they going to change to
they seem down with it so far. Yeah. You know, they see this actual physical object and they're like, oh, wow, it's back.
I can flip through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that a lot of people do find off-putting about the internet is just how difficult it is to tell fact from fiction, Chad. You know, the Onion, it's literally fake news, but, you know, it makes commentary on very real issues. So talk us through that, you know, and how you all play with ideas of the truth through satire.
Right. Well, I think, like, the role of satire is to bring out the truth of a situation, to really capture that. And often, you know, that's with some sort of jokey premise. And the more you kind of tease out that truth, like then sometimes people are like confused by it, you know, but also it is also using the different tropes and stuff. I remember we did a joke about a WNBA player being 7 months pregnant and dominating during the finals, and people were falling for that. And the photo was her like very pregnant. And
oh
the
gosh.
Jokes were about her sliding across the floor to get the balls. And like, we're never trying to fool anybody. It's just a perk that
yeah. It's like it's obviously fake.
Yeah, it's very tongue in cheek, and it's kind of funny when they do. But you know, honestly, that's sort of like a lack of like news literacy, mm-hmm. which is not a great thing to have happening. So,
right. And your headlines, I mean, you're the masters of headlines.
Yeah, we try to write in a really dry style, and so that's why people, I think, get fooled by it, because it's like, well, I read 90% of this. It seems very real.
Seemed real.
And then
right.
there's a little twist at the end.
So the print edition debuted as the DNC came to Chicago last week. So very good timing, right?
Yes, we had to rush to get it out.
Oh,
Our new ownership took over in April, and we've just been like frantically working to figure out our print, get our new website, and get going. But it was a great opportunity with like every reporter in America here,
right.
basically.
My goodness, yeah. I mean, what was it like? That's such a momentous occasion to be covering, but doing it in true Onion fashion.
Yeah, I mean, it just made the whole thing really fun. It's kind of like a political circus that's happening in front of you.
That's a good way to put it.
And it was, you know, it's also kind of fun because, you know, suddenly the Democrats are kind of happy about and have this joy with the campaign. And so it's like, it's fun to like be able to poke fun and not have them be like, well, I'm super bummed out about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we've got an election coming up in November, right? That's the reason for all of this. And we can talk about, you know, what the role of satire is, you know, a bit more during these political cycles. But more specifically, I'm curious what you see The Onion's role as during events like these, the DNC, the election.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to kind of hit at like what the issues are and what like the dangers that could exist. You know, things like the Project 2025 is just a very scary thing, especially for a lot of young people who yeah. have expectations their whole lives of like, well, I'm fine. You know, there's not going to be any problems. If there's people who are like, well, we'd like to get rid of this or that, that's something that, you know, it's a reason for them to come out and vote.
Yeah. And you know, you've been doing this, as we said, for a long time. I wonder how you've seen the mission of The Onion change in what, 30 years, right? Almost 30 years, or grown.
I think it takes a number of different forms. You know, we always still have that key thing of like, we want to make you laugh and have fun with things like make jokes about animals or, you know, famous people doing dumb things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think there is a role like with some of our commentary on gun violence. I think we have hit like in a way that no one else really does, that like kind of just shows this cycle just keeps going. And that's why we use headlines that keep repeating and show like the no way to prevent us headline.
Yeah.
it just kind of shows like how we're all stuck in this cycle. And there's a lot of other different aspects of politics that kind of keep on going. And so we can kind of cut through that. We don't need access to politicians or anybody. So we just kind of say what the truth is.
Yeah. Now this time around, you know, because it's been more than a decade since you've been in print. Now we're back. Is there anything that you're changing about the approach this time around?
One kind of fun thing we're doing right now is we have fake ads in the paper. So like in the past, people would be like, well, I don't know what's real and what's fake in here.
Yeah.
Well, now there really are fake ads. And
oh my goodness.
It's like a new avenue for satire for us to kind of make fun of like how companies are bad or how they're crass with their customers. And just kind of having fun with it. And it's great to have like a full page ad in the paper.
Oh my goodness. And someone has to decipher whether that's real or not.
Right.
That is hilarious. So the headlines, I'm going to go back to that. I mean, is there a secret that you can share to these iconic headlines, Chad?
Well, this is the thing we're kind of working on with the staff in going into print is like brevity is so important. You know, being able to say something really quickly, but that it makes a big point, you know, or it's a big laugh. And, you know, we've been kind of practicing before with the Trump assassination attempt. We had a joke about Congress banning roofs. And so, you know, it kind of gets at the misplaced focus. You know, that is one of the things, tools that we use a lot where you're focused on one thing that's like, that's not the actual problem.
Right.
And, but then you just say like, we can't have any more roofs. There's no reason for them. They're bad. They lead to bad things.
Pretty clever. Do you ever write something and you're like, oh man, this is the best one yet. Or you see, you know, something that someone else wrote and you're thinking, oh man, I wish we had thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, you're always like when you're working with your colleagues, you're like, oh, you got to that joke before I did.
Or, right.
Even when you're brainstorming, sometimes you're waiting for someone to stop talking and then someone says the thing you're going to say and you're like, oh.
That means you're in sync, right?
Yeah.
That's teamwork right there. All right. We've been talking with Chad Nackers, who's editor-in-chief of The Onion. Thank you so much for stopping by, Chad.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Congrats again.
This episode of The Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert-Bear, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset catches up with culture makers every week. If this sounds like what you're looking for, well, make sure to check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you later.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely